Podcast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
This is a special day for the Paracast. The Paracast has been on the air for 5 years. They said it couldn't be done. And after hearing the show, they might even say that it shouldn't be done. But we're here, we're still alive, and we're still kicking. And we're still kicking the people in the UFO field and the paranormal field who are trying to make a mess of everything. So I've assembled present and former co-hosts so we could have a roundtable discussion and answer your questions. Now, I posted a special forum thread of the Paracast forums at forum.paracast.com called Questions for Fifth Anniversary Show. Figured we'd get a few questions. We have dozens of questions. We have so many questions here, ladies and gentlemen, we could do a show just with the questions and then do 3 or 4 sequel shows. But first, let me introduce our guest. Of course, our co-host is Chris O'Brien. Our guest co-host, Greg Bishop. You haven't been here in a while, Bishop. What are you up to?
What have I been doing? I'm looking for a job. That's my main job right now. Other than that, I'm doing trying to fix my radio site for Radio Misterioso. So that should be a treat coming up in the next few weeks.
We can't wait. We also gave Greg some web space in case he needs it. Paul Kimball, have you become the box office sensation in terms of filmmaking yet?
No, but the nice thing about what I get to do is I don't really care about what the box office is. I'm pretty sure my investors do and will in the future, but I just like making good films, so that's what I'm still working away at.
Can you tell us what you have coming out that we might look forward to?
Well, Eternal Kiss is finally going to get released this year. It's actually available for free for 2 weeks, although by the time the show airs, it won't be available anymore. So I've also taken Best Evidence, the original version that aired on Space and TVNZ in 2007. I have put that up for free. You can watch it on the Paracast forums, actually. I posted it there. And we're working on an enhanced DVD set with a lot of extras, new narration, that should be available, from the looks of it, mid to late spring. That one I won't be putting up for free because my investors don't like it when I do that with new stuff. But, yeah.
Besides, you have to buy groceries.
You have to pay people back who were kind enough to put money into your film projects in the first place. You know, that'll be great. There'll be a lot of good new stuff. And I have a couple of feature films in development right now that look good to go into production this summer. So that's really what I'm focusing on at the moment.
So then we'll be checking Box Office Mojo to see what's happening.
Or Netflix, or a broadcaster near you, or film festivals, which for independent films are usually the first place where you're able to see something.
Chris O'Brien, while this show is being heard on the 27th of February, you and I will be roaming the halls of this convention in the Phoenix area. What's that about?
Oh, boy. Well, the UFO Congress has been resurrected after the Bill and Terry Brown had it since the early 90s. And a gentleman named John Rao and his organization, Open Minds, have sort of taken it over to a certain degree, and they've revamped it. They've shortened it. They've attempted to, I guess, upscale the speakers a little bit from years past, and they're doing really well. They've pretty much sold it out, and by the time this airs, we will... We will have had a pretty interesting time down there. I'm going to be the face of the thing. I'm going to have a film crew, and we'll have been walking around all week with a microphone. So it should be fun.
And some of that stuff you'll hear on the Paracast, because I'll be there at the same time with my studio equipment and your studio equipment, and, of course, my MacBook Pro, because we're all Apple all the time here, except for Paul Kimball. But we won't hold that against him because I kind of like the guy. In any case, we will have something featured in our shows in March from that convention. Okay, let's go to the questions. Let's go to the peanut gallery here. And we have the first question. It's actually 5 questions. Again, these are the kinds of questions where we could do a whole show. All right? It comes from ExoDoc. It says, Happy 5th, guys. Thank you so much. Question 1. Could you list some of the more pertinent reasons why the field of ufology has been bogged down for several years? This is a Paul Kimball question. Paul, let's hear your reaction.
The primary answer, the easiest answer for me, would be to say it's bogged down because it focuses on theories, on people arguing about what they believe the UFO phenomenon might represent or not, whether it's aliens from outer space or military intelligence projects or extra dimensionals or crypto terrestrials or whatever it is. So instead of accepting it for what it is, a genuine mystery that should be of interest to anybody that is interested in mysteries, that might even have national security implications if you take it far enough, whatever, there are reasons why you would want to be interested in this. Instead, it's within the UFO research community, at least the public UFO research community itself, it's degenerated into interpersonal conflicts, turf wars, and arguments over things that nobody on any side can prove. And research, as a result, has suffered. And nothing really new, and I mean genuinely new and mysterious, in my opinion, has come out in years and perhaps even decades. And I don't think that's what people are focusing on. So sometimes people like Greg and Nick Redfern and I, Mac Tony's before he passed away was like this too, can sound disenchanted, cranky, confrontational, whatever word you want to use. That's because we are. Because we look around and we see that a subject we're interested in that we find mysterious and compelling and thought-provoking is being turned into a laughingstock by people that are more interested in making themselves a name or in promoting their theories or whatever it is that drives them, than actually taking a look at the mystery with a sense, and here's what's really missing. Here it is in a nutshell, guys. To my point of view, what's missing is the following two words, gee whiz. And even as I say it, I sound, you know, like depressed, so I'll try and do it in a happier way. Gee whiz. I mean, like, you know, that late 1940s, early 1950s thing where you just looked and went, wow, something interesting, something amazing might be going on. We might be interacting in some way, shape, or form with some other intelligence. How is that not fun and exciting? And somehow UFO research has managed to, the UFO community, ufology, whatever you want to call it, has sucked all of that energy out, and it's become petty, bitter, vindictive, and frankly, not worth the time of anyone whose IQ has three numbers in it as opposed to two. And so that's the problem as I see it.
Greg Bishop.
Very well stated, Paul.
Greg Bishop, yeah. What's your reaction?
Well, everything that Paul said, obviously, and I see it as too many people with not too many bright ideas arguing the loudest and making the biggest noise. And I'm talking about on the anti, if you want to call that, UFO side, and pro-UFO side, whatever that is. The loudest people tend to be the least creative and dumbest people. It seems that way in any field of endeavor, but in something as unregulated, unaccepted as UFO study, it just makes it even worse and pushes it further off the map of people, of the interest of people who are interested in the mystery and are interested in, I don't know about a solution, because I don't know if that's possible right now, but I don't think a solution will elude us. And the problem with not having people outside of the UFO community interested in that is because that's where I think some sort of breakthrough in thinking or direction will come from. Not from somebody who's been studying UFOs for 8 zillion years or picking debris up off of remote places in New Mexico or wherever and saying this is UFOs from other planets. It's going to come from a physicist or a sociologist or some kind of thinker who's completely invested in some other sort of pursuit that looks at the UFO subject with new eyes, with fresh eyes, and with their background and with cutting-edge thought, research and theories that haven't been applied before, that can be applied to UFO mystery. And that's what's holding it back, is egos, loud people, keeping smart, interested people who otherwise could make a really big difference, I think, away from the subject.
And this answers, by the way, several questions, and we'll get to more of this in a moment. We have our co-host, Chris O'Brien, guest co-host, Greg Bishop, former co-host, think about that, Paul Kimball, on our fifth anniversary episode,
The Paracast.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-877-804-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-877-804-MYTV right now to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to 4 rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HDTV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part, the pristine digital picture and sound. Call 1-877-804-MYTV. So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-877-804-MYTV. 1-877-804-MYTV. Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more. Call 1-877-804-MYTV. 1-877-804-MYTV.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth slide into a recession or, at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common-sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
Hello folks, this is Steve Shank. This week we introduced a new product from eFoods Direct, corn chowder. And let me tell you, its homemade flavor is absolutely amazing. You know eFoods, we've brought you the best food on the planet for years. As you know, we pioneered a line of quick fix meals that are super easy to fix. Obviously, winter is upon us. You can save 20% on the wonderful soup and bakery special. It's a lot of food for less than a dollar a serving. It includes the new corn chowder I told you about and the other wonderful soups. It also includes the delicious cornbread muffins and buttermilk biscuits to go with the soup. So you have great food you can serve this winter or jumpstart your food savings account for the future. Saving 20%. Call 800-409-5633 on the web, efoodsdirect.com/Alex. That's 800-409-5633 or on the web, efoodsdirect.com/Alex.
Did you know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of only the most alkaline minerals. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins, and helps you regain health and energy. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen content, and raises the pH of your body to healthy levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
We want to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com. Get in on all the action at forum.theparacast.com.
We're talking with our former co-hosts, Paul Kimball, Greg Bishop, our guest co-host Chris O'Brien. This is the fifth anniversary episode of the Paracast. In other words, it's a special occasion, a special events celebrating something that I didn't even expect to happen when the Paracast started in February of 2006. We have basically been answering two or three questions from ExoDoc at once, which is, of course, you know, what's wrong with the UFO field? How can we fix things up? Chris, what's your reaction?
Well, again, I absolutely agree with Paul and Greg in terms of describing the general atmosphere that's been very detrimental to the field. It's always ebbed and flowed, I think, from the very beginning, but it seems to be getting worse as the years go by. Another thing that I have a particular interest in is actual hard data gathering. And as Paul pointed out, there seems to be a lot of theorizing going on and a lot of, some better than others in terms of the quality of the ideas, but there's not very much hard data being gathered. And one of the things that I'm attempting to do is get funding to put together a hard data monitoring setup in a place that's known for its activity. And I think this kind of approach potentially could be the fastest way to garner the respect of the scientific community and academia, and also potentially provide some sort of scientific understanding. And, wow, wouldn't it be great, even a breakthrough in terms of increasing our level of understanding. And I think that this is an area that could be the antithesis to all the backbiting and people, fighting over whose theory is correct and the rest of it that Paul and Greg, you just pointed out. So that's kind of my additional comment to, I think, what the main problem is. And that's a lot of infighting by loud people who perhaps should do a little bit more thinking as opposed to flapping their opinions.
They would serve as great members of Congress, I would think. In any case, we have, by the way, so many questions, we can't ask them all. It would take a 10-hour show. So what Chris and I are doing is we'll kind of give you cross sections and see if one question relates to another and see where it goes. Now, one question someone asked here was, what would you guys say are the top five researchers of all time? Who are the best today? And I guess the second question implies someone no longer with us. So let me start with Greg Bishop. What's your reaction? Top five.
Top five, huh? Let's see. And this is putting aside things that I disagree with on different people. Because because you disagree with somebody doesn't mean you can't think they're a good researcher. Valet and Keel, obviously. Jerome Clark is one of them. Kevin Randall, I have great disagreements with him. I don't have the background and the research muscle that he has, but I think he's a really good and well-rounded researcher, too. How many is that? Is that five? One, two, three, four. That's five.
Hey, you're done. Have a nice day, Greg. Now, Paul, you have been collecting, surveys of one sort or another, best troublemaker or biggest troublemaker. So the top five researchers of all time, Paul Kimball, who would you name, and your Uncle Stan could be among them if you want?
Sure. To me, it's relatively easy. J. Allen Hynek. Dr. Jim McDonald, who I think is probably the best researcher of all time. And I think, it's like asking filmmakers, who's your favorite filmmaker, as opposed to people who watch films. They might say Michael Bay or something. But if you ask filmmakers, they start giving you names that maybe you're not familiar with. Jim McDonald is a name that I think you would find if you polled UFO researchers, the serious ones. I think McDonald's name would be at or very near the top of everyone's list, but he's largely unknown and forgotten outside of serious UFO research. That's two. Jacques Vallée would be three. Richard Hall and Jerome Clark, Jerry Clark and Dick Hall, I would put them together. They're I find it hard to separate the two because I've seen so many of their postings on UFO updates over the years that I'm going to put 1A and 1B there. And you know what? Stan Friedman, despite whatever disagreements I would have with him over Roswell or some other things, I think Stan has been a tireless researcher for the last 35 or 40 years. So that would be my top list. And I think they all bring something interesting and different, or in the case of Dick Hall and Hynek and McDonald, who are no longer with us, they brought something. They all brought something very interesting, different, a set of expertise, a commitment to the subject, open-minded, but also skeptical when needed, and I think in varying degrees, some more than others. And so, yeah, I think that would be my list. It's a pretty good list, too.
Now, I'll just drop in my list a little bit before we have Chris. Most of the people you've heard mentioned from Greg and Paul, I'd include. I might also include Major Donald Kehoe, not because he gave us anything original, but he made it possible for a lot of people who otherwise would have not taken UFOs seriously to look at it carefully. So for that alone, the way he publicized it, I think he deserves some kind of place in the sun. Again, I didn't agree with Major Kehoe. I met him several times. I think I did one of his last interviews, as a matter of fact, which is lost in the annals of time. I submitted it to a publisher who never paid me for the article, which is why I forgot about it. Chris O'Brien, your top five.
Well, I know I'm kind of going back a little ways here, but one, I think one of the earliest, I think most admired person in my mind should be Charles Fort. Hmm. And Fort Valet, Keel, I think James McDonald, again, as Paul mentioned, should be up there, and possibly Heinen.
Well, that covers that pretty quickly. Let's get to another question here from Dying Sun. And by the way,
Gene, if I can interrupt for just a second, though, let's ask ourselves this question.
Sure.
How many of those people have begun their career in the last 20 years? Of all the ones we just named, how many of them began their career, even say after 1980, 30 years? None. Not, and going back to your first question about the problems of UFO research or ufology, why it's bogged down, as good as all of those people are that we just named, none of them began their careers within the last 30 years.
Well, more to the point, Paul, is the fact that some are no longer with us. Others are in their 60s and 70s, so maybe their best years are behind them. So where is the current generation of UFO investigators? That might also be another question, and it's implied in some places amongst the list I have here, but let's go into that. Young researchers, anybody has potential of that kind of greatness? Greg Bishop?
Well, geez, I can't think of any right now except for possibly Nick. And Chris, of course, geez. Because I think the potential for these people is the younger people has not been realized yet. And the other thing is that I think a lot of the really good researchers are people you never hear of. People you just, you know, they don't pop up on news shows. They don't pop up in lectures. They don't write any books, maybe. But you see them sometimes at conventions and maybe sometimes on message boards and all that. And I think the good research and the good thought are coming from these quiet people that you never hear of. And pulling all these threads together is something that I like to do. I think sometimes I just call myself a cheerleader for the stuff that interests me.
We have Greg Bishop, Paul Kimball, Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack of the Rockoids. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockoids lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockoids is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack of the Rockoids. A novel in the grand science fiction tradition."
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it,
now you can.
Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry. Go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy. The best you can buy.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping. An $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
It's the winter cold and flu supplement sale at HerbalHealer.com. Take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on the best cold and flu supplements available. Many of you know elderberry is exceptional against viral infections. Right now, Herbal Healer Academy has elderberry power, regularly priced at $16.95, now incredibly low, at only $10 for 60 vegetarian caps. For children and seniors, our Herbal Healer Academy Flu Away Elderberry Liquid is only $13 for a 4-ounce bottle. Also on super sale, olive leaf capsules, oregano oil plus capsules, and our incredible respirate formula, oregacillin physician strength capsules for your lungs. Normally $34.95, now just $25. Hit the winter specials link at HerbalHealer.com for these cold and flu supplement specials and other on sale products like apple cider vinegar, brain power, and neuro recovery. New customers get a free catalog with your first order. Log on and hit the winter specials now at HerbalHealer.com.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
This is Hilly Rose, and I hope that you do listen to the Paracast because you will learn a great deal about the paranormal.
We return, fifth anniversary episode of the Paracast. My co-host is Chris O'Brien. We have Paul Kimball and Greg Bishop joining us. I can promise that they will agree or disagree with regard to what they say about these subjects, but everything is fascinating here. Now, I'm trying to think also, the people who are under 50 who got involved in UFO research after 1980, who are they? Chris O'Brien, how do you find yourself being included amongst the list of, shall we say, younger researchers? Well, you got started before 1980, though.
Well, not in any sort of official capacity. I've always had an interest since I was very young. But, I got started in the early 90s, really, in terms of devoting time, energy, resources, and really diving into it as fully as possible. But in answer to the question about young researchers, I do have a certain amount of respect for John Greenwald. I think he's done an amazing job with the FOIA requests and his Black Vault website. I think that's a tremendous resource for people in the field, and he's someone that I think should be mentioned. Also, Chris Abeck and his research work with Valet on Wonders in the Sky, this most recent book that Valet has been a part of. I think Chris Abeck is a person, a quiet trooper, who has some real skill in ferreting out historical cases. Other than that, David Perkins would be somebody I think that doesn't get enough mention. Tom Adams is another one who doesn't get mentioned very often anymore. There have been some unsung heroes that have fallen by the wayside, like Tom, unfortunately, who I believe is out of the field, at least publicly. And I think part of the problem is the kids, their attention spans are quite short, and they don't, I don't want to use too broad of a brush here, but I think a lot of the kids, they just assume that these subjects are real, and they don't want to do the heavy lifting. They just, they'll get their political news from the Daily Show. They'll tune into Coast to Coast occasionally to get a chuckle, and they're just, they don't have the dedication and the drive to really try to get to the bottom of it. They're lacking, as Paul put it, the gee whiz factor. And that's, and I think that that's one of the main reasons why we don't see, the average age of UFO conferences below the age of 70.
What's also unfortunate here is as the audience dies off, the conventions get, you know, less well attended and they don't occur anymore. You think about MUFON. Now, how many of the people at MUFON are in the 60s and 70s or maybe 80s? How many younger people join MUFON? Good question. Here's another question, speaking of which.
Do we need conventions anymore? That's another question.
Well, I'll tell you what, you just asked it. Let's do that one before I ask the next question. So since you posed the question, Greg Bishop, answer it yourself. Go ahead.
I think we need maybe a few conventions just because people like getting together. But because of the Internet, I don't think we really actually need to physically be around each other anymore and spend all that money. The first touch is great. I think it should still be there. And but if conventions almost disappeared, I would probably not be very I wouldn't be sorry to see them go that much, unless, like we've been discussing, a new crop of incredibly great researchers comes up. Then I suppose I'd like to meet and talk to them. But I can also do that by chat or by phone. So I haven't seen anybody do it yet, but an all-online convention would be great.
That's a great idea.
And I think some people have made noises about it, but it hasn't actually come to full fruition yet.
Can you set up a group meeting, though, with enough people? I'm not talking about Skype. I'm thinking maybe like GoToMeeting, one of our former sponsors from Citrix, GoToMeeting.com. And there are other companies that do this where you can have an online meeting with lots of people, and they can all participate together. Of course, you all have to have an Internet connection, so therefore Jim Mosley is out the door. He can never come to one because he will never have an Internet connection. Paul, what's your feeling?
My feeling is that none of us, and I include us here, but certainly those other researchers we mentioned, none of us understands Generation Y. And because of the technological shift, there is a massive difference between how they look at information and the sharing and exchange of it, and how my generation, which, you know, is not that old. I'm only 44. But and we're certainly not over the hill. But I don't consider any, I'm not talking about people who are under 50. I'm talking about where are the people under 25. These are an incredibly. I was at a Telefilm Canada put on an internet marketing distribution and financing seminar a week and a half ago that I went to, and very much a lot of gee whiz stuff from that point of view. But things like Indiegogo and Kickstarter, how film musicians knew this 10 years ago, but how film is changing, how you can raise money on the internet to do specific projects, how you build communities, but how the generations look at these things differently. And so if you're talking about conferences, the older generation, even my generation perhaps, would see it as there goes Stan Friedman or whomever standing on stage delivering a lecture to 300 people sitting and listening to them. That is not how information is exchanged with the younger generation today. They ran a series of studies, and they showed it's a generation that's much more hopeful than mine was, you know, the Nirvana, Slacker, Generation X thing. They're very hopeful. They get engaged in a wide range of things, so they're not lazy. And if you watch any protests, you know, WTO or anything, these are people that if you motivate them will go out and actually participate, which I don't recall my generation doing. I don't remember any protests in the 80s or the 90s, really. So an untapped market out there. And I think the problem is not them. The problem is the failure of the UFO community, research community, and I'll even say the serious UFO research community, to engage them in a way that is meaningful for them, that speaks to their language and how they interact with each other, and just trying to understand them. And it's been an abject failure. And the result will be that ufology, whatever it is, you know, it's like the parrot in Monty Python skit. It's resting, it's pining for the fjords of Norway, and it's almost gone. And I think that might not be a bad thing, because something new is going to replace it, and I think it's going to be more in tune with what that younger generation is interested in, and then it's going to be us that has to adjust to how they do things. And that's probably a good thing.
Yeah, exactly what Paul said. Everything I was trying to say, he elaborated perfectly.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I really do see a major generational gap, as Paul pointed out, between the original vanguard that's still around in this field and how they disseminate information to one another. It's old school. We're in the 21st century now, and we need to adapt the technology in such a way that it keeps the younger generations engaged. Like Paul said, we need to come up with a common ground and common languaging. It all boils down to languaging. And I think the whole idea of community, as Paul pointed out, too, is very important. If you can get people motivated, get them interested in a particular community, I think your chances of succeeding are greatly increased, really.
Can we exploit, like, Twitter and Facebook for something like this? I mean, we all have presences on Facebook and Twitter, but I don't know that we're exploiting them into the way that it could be exploited.
No. No UFO researcher that I know of is, and I include myself, you know, I'm not a UFO researcher, and to me it's a part-time interest. So if I'm going to exploit social media, it will be for my business, you know, making films and stuff. But nobody that I know of is really exploiting it. And you need, Chris talked about the need to, well, you didn't mention it specifically, but it's implied that if you're going to do field research, you do need money. Equipment can be expensive. Even the inexpensive equipment can be expensive. You also need, frankly, I think probably maybe to hire some people if you had an organization. However you want to look at it, you're going to need some resources. There are ways to use social media to raise money. You don't just want people chatting on an internet forum. That's useful. It's a good first step. But there has to be an end game. And the end game has to be to get them involved in one of two ways, either actually doing the work themselves, and some will, or providing, frankly, money and resources. As simple as, hey, everybody, go on coast to coast with, say, 3 million listeners and try and get 1% of the people that are listening. Appeal directly to them and say, we have this fund. We want each of you to donate $10. That's a Happy Meal at McDonald's or whatever. $10, each of you, 30,000 people. You know, there's $300,000 that would fund a reasonably half-decent research effort for a year.
Paul Kimball, Greg Bishop here, co-host Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Becoming a modern smoker is now easier and more cost-effective, thanks to LeCig. Traditional smokers the world over love LeCig. E-cigarettes with a look, feel, and taste of real cigarettes, but without the nasty smoke, ashes, or stains. LeCig is powered by revolutionary microelectronic technology. A small, rechargeable battery and unique replaceable cartridge provide all the satisfaction and benefits of smoking without the smoke and all the hazards. See the large variety of LeCig e-cigarette supplies and accessories at LeCig.com. That's LeCig.com. LeCig is competitively priced, comes with the best customer service, a 30-day warranty, and satisfaction guaranteed. What a great gift idea. For a 10% discount, mention GCN when you call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Ask for fast, free, same-day shipping. Order online at LeCig.com and use promo code GCN at checkout. That's LeCig.com. LeCig, for today's modern smoker.
There's mounting evidence suggesting that there are people, governments, corporations, and whole professions intent on short-circuiting humanity's well-being. GMO, food legislation protecting big agriculture, the attempted elimination of vitamins and alternative medicines, it seems their hand has been tipped. They want to dictate your health, wealth, and your longevity. Whatever the outcome, we have a solution. Wild edible food. Why worry about food when all has been provided? We imagine that we were ejected from the garden and never invited back, but the garden's still here. There is an endless wild abundance which grows all over our green earth, just waiting for you to wake up and see it. Let author Linda Runyon teach you how to see, know, get, prepare, store, and eat wild edible food. Save money, add nutrition, and ignore the noise when you go shopping in nature's supermarket. Go to ofthefield.com and get started today. Or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE. That's ofthefield.com or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE and begin to see a different world.
9 years, thousands of clients worldwide, amazing results. And here's more proof of the effectiveness of how Heart and Body Extract supports good circulation and healthy arterial flow.
My name is Crystal. I'm a 45-year-old and live in Houston, Texas. I was diagnosed with having mitral valve prolapse 10 years ago. My cardiologist said surgery and drugs was the only thing he could offer me.
What did Crystal do?
I ordered Heart and Body Extract in August 2006. When I first took my first 15 drops, I embraced the formula and could even feel the goodness of the formula starting to work.
Clean, clear arteries are happy arteries after using Heart and Body Extract. Learn more at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. HB Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
You're in the Paracast. You never know what's going to happen next.
We return with co-host Chris O'Brien, our guests Greg Bishop, Paul Kimball, Talking Shop, the fifth anniversary of the Paracast, and speaking of ways that maybe we can cause the next generation of potential UFO investigators to take a look and see whether they could be persuaded to become interested in this subject. In the generation of YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, texting, all this stuff, how do we do it? Let's get on to some more questions here. And this actually refers to the Paracast, and I don't know whether all our co-hosts have heard every episode. I have at least twice, and I understand I'm going for a rest cure next week. Okay, let's ask you, Greg Bishop. You've done some shows here. Do you think that among the guests you've interviewed or heard of, anybody really taught you something new, peculiar, unexpected from an episode, from a show, an interview?
I think the questions teach me something new. A lot of Chris's questions teach me something new. What sticks out of probably, and this is a very selfish choice, is the interviews with Mac Tonies, because I talked to him, of course, personally, but then in an interview format, he really has to push his ideas and his what he's trying to prove and what his thought process is. And sometimes if you know somebody well enough, you don't really do that, and you get a different perspective when somebody else is asking the questions. As far as somebody that sticks out, I can't think of anybody right now. Maybe Richard Dolan with some of the things that I didn't expect he would say.
Okay, Chris.
Well, that's a tough one. There's, you know, I have listened to a majority of the shows, and it's really difficult for me to attempt to pick out a single guest. There have been little vignettes here and there that I found intriguing, but that's a tough one. I really wouldn't. I'd have to think about that. Ask me that later. I'll put my hat on and kind of think about that, because we've had some real good guests on the show over the years, and it'd be really tough to boil it down. It would depend on maybe the subject or something.
Rain check time for Chris O'Brien. Paul Kimball.
I'll give you a two-part answer, Gene. First of all, from an entertainment point of view, because it is, you know, it's radio, it's entertainment. The Steve Bassett meltdown, that was that one.
Yeah, and I have a reason why I might have rated that one. But, of course, this is like the second time Steve Bassett appeared on the show, I think back in 2006 or 2007. And we pressed him on some very simple areas about, you know, why do you have crazy people at some of your conventions along with some pretty serious people? And he went ballistic.
Yeah, well, you know, I had a personal experience with him where he stood up. We were having a discussion along with, I think, Nick Pope, Rob Simone, there were some other people there at the Laughlin conference one year, and Bassett got so agitated when I basically said, you know, you need to, if you want to make a positive contribution, stop inviting Alfred Weber and substitute him with, I don't know, Greg Bishop or anybody. And Bassett said something along the lines of, you don't know what you're talking about, stood up, turned around, slapped his butt in my face, and then walked off. And I just thought, well, okay, yeah, that try doing that with a congressman, you who is the only UFO lobbyist in Washington. See how that gets you with the Secret Service or something.
So, yeah, what's interesting here, too, Paul, is that, in a sense, his meltdown on the Paracast was very much the equivalent of what you're describing in person.
Yeah, and you know what? I've talked to Bassett a number of times. I can have a pleasant conversation with him until you start talking about what he does. And then he doesn't brook any criticism, which goes back to the very first question on this show, what's wrong with ufology? Too many people like Steve Bassett, who, if you challenge what they're saying, argument's fine. Heated argument is fine, but they basically stand up, turn around, and slap their butt in your face and then walk away. And that's not productive. But it is entertaining. So that's why I split my answer in two.
Okay, Dying Sun had asked the question about that from our forums, and he also said, I want Gene's opinion. Which one won the award as the worst episode of the Paracast yet? Now, I don't know if they consider worst or most significant. Certainly, the Steve Bassett meltdown.
Bill Nell. I had a chance to look at the list now. Bill Nell is one of my favorites.
In 30 minutes, Bill Nell hung up after we simply confronted his, as they say, deceptions. Also, of course, Stephen Greer had a semi-meltdown on one of our episodes. But one of the more recent ones that Chris and I participated in, Anthony Sanchez.
Oh, yeah.
Chris, tell us about that.
Well, Anthony, I really think he's a nice guy. I actually spent a couple hours with him at the Angel Fire Conference last September. He's very enthusiastic. He's not that well-versed in the subject matter, and he obviously has not had much experience representing his views publicly, like in a forum like the Paracast on radio shows. And he was making these large sweeping statements that didn't have the word alleged in front of them, which I had to remind him a couple of times that you're alleging something. You're not, you shouldn't be stating it as fact. And I think he took it pretty well, but he had a bit of a meltdown 2 days later, if I remember correctly, and sent out a very disturbing email to anyone that cared to read it about his leaving the field, the book's not coming out, and, Colonel X is, he's throwing him under the bus or whatever. And then all of a sudden he had a complete turnaround about a week later and released his book as an e-book. And we have another chapter in the growing myth around the Dulce base underground there. So,
have you read the book, Chris?
No, I haven't.
Well, I'll tell you what, I asked him for a reviewer's copy. He never responded. I think he was embarrassed.
Yeah.
I think that's part of it right there. I think when you bring someone on and they prove to be less than you expected. Let's move beyond that. There's so many questions here. I don't want to dwell on Anthony Sanchez, Bill Nell, Steve Bassett, Stephen Greer, or maybe a few more other people that maybe we were disappointed in. Because
If I can just say, I gave the entertaining answer. The answer I would give for the best show would be any show with guys, and I'll just talk about guys that I knew, like Dave Sadler and Steve Mara, who do real research in the field and careful research. They're skeptics. If they say they have something, they will show it to you. Those kinds of episodes with those kinds of people on this show or any other show are the ones that people should be listening to. And those are the ones that I enjoy and listen to. So to answer your original question about what the best show was, the Sadler Mara show for me that I participated in. But there are other ones with people that actually walk the walk and or talk the talk, but they also walk the walk. They'll back it up when you ask them for it. Those are good shows.
I'd add Phil and Brogna, too, to that list.
Yeah, Phil would be way up there in my top five, definitely. And I think he's well. Stan Gordon, too. Cases are just jaw-dropping. And I'm amazed that more people aren't aware of his 40 years of work in Pennsylvania.
You know, when we talk about Pennsylvania, there is one other guess I was disappointed in, not because of the show, which I thought was good, but because of what happened after that. Butch Witkowski.
Oh, boy.
Yes. Yeah. Now, what's happened here is, he was supposed to be a big muckety-muck in the Pennsylvania MUFON and all that, had all these credentials, and suddenly a private detective goes around and finds that a lot of his credentials were false, that he had been convicted of a felony. We asked Butch to come on the Paracast or send me a statement where he would correct the record if he felt that somebody misstated it. He first said, what was this about, then wrote me a letter after that saying, well, no, he's going to concentrate on research privately. He's not going to answer anything, which, in effect, as far as I'm concerned, that's a confession. Because I think if you're accused of being that deceptive, and if those accusations are false, the first thing you would do would to get on there and refute those accusations. You wouldn't say, well, I'm not going to respond to this. I'm going to go away. Well, he went away. Good luck. Goodbye. Good luck. I mean, if you want to hear the show, it's still on there. I'm not going to take a show off strictly because a guest turned out to be disappointing, I think. I mean, you'll see a few other guests along the way where maybe they weren't able to prove what they claimed to have been able to prove, but we're trying to cover a broad spectrum here. But those possibly are the worst ones. Now, as I said before, we have so many questions here. We can do a 10-hour show. We've basically covered, as I say, probably almost a third of the show right now. And unfortunately, we're not going to get to all this, but we're going to ask a few of these questions of our guests, and we're going to see where we can go. I would say this, in the 5 years that we've had the Paracast, I've learned an awful lot about the UFO and paranormal field. Also, with me, because I've been involved in this crazy thing so long, I got to become reacquainted with people I hadn't talked to in a while, like Jerome Clark, for example. You know, hadn't talked with him in years. He came on the show two or three times. Kurt Southerly, who's also an unsung hero in UFO research in Pennsylvania, dear friend of mine, has done a lot of personal investigations. He's a former journalist, newspaper reporter who does a lot of digging, also, I think, deserves recognition. Our guest, Paul Kimball, Greg Bishop, the co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Hi, Ted Anderson announcing a great way to listen to radio on the telephone. By calling 760-569-7700, you'll be hearing GCNLive.com programs in seconds. Come to GCNLive.com, find your favorite host's dedicated phone number, and hear them 24/7. You heard me right, every show has a dedicated phone number. Stop by GCNLive.com and bookmark their number today. And again, that's 760-569-7700. We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.